This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is time for us to check in on the money. Salejo's actually here for Anthea this morning. Hey, Salejo, how are you, man?
I'm great, thanks.
Cool. Gareth. Nice to see you in studio for a change. All right, so where do we begin? There's quite a lot to talk about market-wise. Friday was fantastic. Another good day.
Yeah, so I thought we'd start off with the platinum sector.
Yeah.
Because Lonmin had quite a crazy week. I think Anthea may have touched on it a bit last week, but
yes.
I thought we'd go into a bit more depth. So Lonmin was up about 40% last week, and that was due to what looks like a bit of a short squeeze. So we know that.
How does that work?
Okay, so usually when investors sell a share short, they're obviously betting that the share will go down rather than go up.
Right.
But in some cases, when a lot of the shares of a company are held by short sellers, and then that company comes out with good news, short sellers will then buy the share quickly to, in essence, cover their short. So to stop being short, they'll buy out their share, close out the position. And because of that, if you have a lot of short sellers buying the share to close out at the same time, then the share can pop quite quickly.
Right. Okay.
So that's what it looked like happened with Lonmin last week. I mean, on Monday, they released the report, and it was up 15% on Monday, roughly another 15% the next day, 10% the next day. So it looks like a lot of short sellers just looked at this production report, which for them was relatively positive. And they said, for now, I think the short case isn't as compelling as it was, so we're getting out.
Right.
So the basic thesis for Lonmin on the short side is that they have roughly, after this report on our numbers, roughly 30 months of liquidity left.
And then they're out of business.
Well, we assume the PIC will probably
bail them out.
Yeah, bail them out again. But this is the interesting thing now for the platinum industry at large is roughly 172,000 people are employed in South Africa in the platinum industry.
So while all the environmentalists are getting excited about the end of petrol and diesel cars, because obviously they want a cleaner atmosphere, the people who have jobs in the platinum sector are hoping that it stays exactly the way it is, because that's their employment. That's all they've got.
Yeah, and for us as a country, I mean, 70% of the world's platinum is produced here.
Yeah.
So this is huge for us.
It'll hit us hard.
Yeah. And it's actually quite ironic because, I mean, one of the big champions of the electric car movement is Elon Musk. So we could end up having a South African putting multiple South Africans.
Putting the nails in the coffin of the platinum business.
Yeah, and obviously that's not his intention. He's just focused on sustainable energy.
Sure.
But if we compare Lonmin to Anglo-American Platinum,
right?
So they're the biggest platinum maker in the world. They produce about 2.4 million ounces every year. They're roughly break even. So they've said they're going to make between R2.10 and R3.35 for the first half of this year. And the share price is R311.
Uh-huh.
So if you annualize that range they gave, let's say they do R5 or R6, and you have a share price at 311, that's a 50 or 60 times PE for the share. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, why is the market willing to pay so much for a share that's basically making no money? It's because the market's pricing in much higher platinum prices.
Oh, okay. But with all the news coming in now, that's not necessarily going to happen.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing Volvo have said from, I think, 2020, they're not going to produce any more internal combustion engines. We're seeing a lot of European cities saying they don't want any more diesel vehicles being produced or bought in their cities. So there's a lot of negative sentiment around the platinum industry.
What about these batteries that you mentioned, Elon Musk, before Tesla, and the batteries that they're trying to put in to the electric cars? I mean, is there major improvement going on there? Do you think that'll eventually be the replacement?
Yes. So battery prices are coming down really significantly year on year. One of the ways that people are trying to benefit from this move to electric vehicles is by buying lithium ion, by buying ETFs that give you exposure to the actual price.
Right.
Because Tesla, for example, have said that they want to produce as much lithium ion themselves as the world produced every year in 2013.
Wow.
And then you have Chinese battery makers that are also building these so-called gigafactories, which just produce tons of lithium ion. So that's one potential way to try benefit from this move to electric vehicles.
Hmm. All right, let's talk about some of the results from the Facebooks, Amazons, Netflix, and Googles, which you call the FANGs.
Yeah, so yeah, Jim Cramer of CNBC coined it the FANGs. These are pretty much the darlings of the U.S. stock market. If you compare, the U.S. stock market's done 10% year-to-date in 2017, and these four shares, that's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, has done 40%. So wow. It's really outrun the market. And if you just think about it on a, you know, how it's impacted our lives. If I look at my life, you know, Facebook, I use WhatsApp, Instagram, maybe not Facebook so much. Amazon, I order a lot of stuff off Amazon. Netflix, I mean.
Big time.
Yeah, I like to chill.
and Google, obviously, every day as well.
Yeah, YouTube, Google.
Right.
I use Google. I was driving like a madman to get here, and I wouldn't have got here on time if it wasn't for Google Maps. So the disruption that these companies are engaging is pretty significant.
Yeah. No, good for them. So how do the reports look?
So first up, Facebook. We're looking for 40% revenue growth versus 2016. And that's pretty significant if you think that.
That sounds very high.
It is. It's quite mind-boggling because they did $27 billion in revenue for 2016. So we're looking for $9 billion just for this quarter to the end of June.
Wow.
And they doubled their monthly active user counts to about 2 billion users. That's 4 years ago, it was 1 billion users. So, I mean, it's Facebook at this point is pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah.
And even if you try, you know, sometimes we have people who are like, oh, I'm staying away from social media. I'm not going to use Facebook. I'm not going to use Instagram. Like my sister's kind of like that. Even then, you're still going to end up using WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You can't really escape them.
So they are in your life, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Amazon reporting on Thursday. There we're expecting about 20% revenue growth, but that's off a higher base. So that's going to be about $37 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But earnings is expected to fall quite significantly. That's because they're investing very heavily. So that it's going to impact the income statement. They did acquire Whole Foods earlier this year.
Right.
And throughout the year, basically, whenever Amazon sneezes towards a market, that whole sector of the market gets destroyed in terms of share prices.
Wow.
So we saw that with auto part suppliers, the likes of AutoZone and O'Reilly Automotive in the States, which supply auto parts. There were hints that Amazon were going to get into that market, and then those share prices were down 5, 10, 15%.
Hmm.
It's something that we continue to see. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the likes of Amazon impacts South Africa and South African retailing. I mean, we have seen it to an extent, but I don't think we've seen it to the same extent that we've seen it happen in the States.
Well, I mean, certainly online shopping has become a thing in South Africa.
Yeah.
Apparently it's growing year on year very, very nicely. But then you've got to ask, you know, delivery and that kind of thing is still a problem in some parts of this country.
And internet penetration. Yeah.
And internet penetration. But also if you're ordering stuff on Amazon overseas, to get it in is such a nightmare.
Yeah. So they've also got Amazon Prime, where you pay roughly $100 a year, and you get 2-day shipping and Prime Video, that kind of thing. They've actually got 80 million households now in the States using Amazon Prime.
Wow.
So a New York marketing professor, New York University marketing professor, came out with some interesting stats. That's 63% of U.S. households. To put that into perspective, 51% of U.S. households attend church, 49% have a landline phone, and 44% own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So Prime is becoming pretty, you know, ubiquitous as well. I guess that's the major theme of the FANGs, is that they're taking over our lives.
Yeah, we can't get away from them.
Yeah.
All right, very, very nice. Is there anything else you want to throw in?
Sure, yes. So Netflix reported last week. They're also part of the FANGs. They have subscribers of 100 million people now, which is also quite significant.
Wow.
And only 50 million of those are in the States. So it is becoming an international business. But what's very interesting is that they're burning through a lot of cash to acquire this hip, awesome content, which is great. It is great content.
I mean, but I think it's costly.
It is costly. So they spent $600 million over the 3 months to the end of June, or they lost $300 in terms of free cash
million.
Flow. $600 million.
Oh, right.
And year to date in 2017, they've lost $1 billion on a free cash flow basis.
Yo, you spend a lot to get the good content, hey?
Yeah, wow. I guess it's that saying of it takes money to make money. I guess the word the jury's still out on whether they're...
Still, you'd rather be them than Lonman.
Yeah, much rather be them than Lonman, for sure.
All right.
And then I guess just a wrap of the economic indicators this morning.
Cool.
So we have the rand dollar at 12.91. Brent crude oil is still at about $48 a barrel. That's still under pressure from... OPEC numbers last week. Gold's at $1,254 an ounce. That's helped by weak inflation data globally. Platinum, which we've spoken about, is at $937 an ounce. And then markets have generally ended lower in Asia this morning. So in Japan, they were down about 0.8%. In Australia, down 1.1%. And then markets in China and Hong Kong ended slightly higher.
Very good. Thank you, Salehu.
Thanks, Gareth.
Cool. Salehu Tsatsi is here with us this morning, standing in for Anthea, and good to have him in the studio for a change.
This is CliffCentral.com.